So we really, really try to harp on biosecurity because that is really hard for the commercial poultry producers. There's a lot of things that they can do on their ends, but there's a lot of things that they can't do as far as the backyard flocks go and where they're at and where they're located. And then, like you said, as far as the migration goes, there's only but so much they can do there as well. So we try to help both sides recognize that the other side is also important and to be respectful of both and figure out how we can work together to create some good biosecurity measures.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Corver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this interview interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Margaret Ross, and she is the Eastern Area Specialized Poultry Agent for NC State Extension through North Carolina State University. Margaret works with commercial poultry producers and also backyard flock producers to assist in writing nutrient management plans and continuing educational programming. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I always like to ask people, how did you become interested in working with poultry?
That's a really great question and not an easy answer for me, as I had no interest in poultry whatsoever when I was younger. I did want to be a vet, like many of my friends. So I applied to NC State University, thankfully was accepted into the animal science program there, and still at this point had no interest in poultry whatsoever. I really, really liked pigs. I really thought I would go the swine route of doing something related to them. And I decided that being a vet was not for me. So I switched from science, animal science concentration to industry, animal science concentration, and ended up being a livestock agent and covered two counties at that time, straight out of school when I graduated with my BS in animal science. And started having a little bit more interest in poultry at this point. Chickens were getting to be okay. Ducks were maybe okay. Turkeys not so much at this point. But really did enjoy working with the larger livestock at that point. And then 2015 or so, Cooperative Extension decided they were going to restructure. And I was kind of low man on the totem pole at that point in the office that I was housed in. And at this point, like I said, had started to develop a little bit more of an interest in poultry and had made some really good contacts with farmers that also had birds at that point and was able to apply for this job. Did not think that this was anywhere in the realm of what was going to happen for me, and applied and was successful in getting the job. So I started covering at that point 40 counties for North Carolina in 2015 as the Eastern Area Poultry Agent. And then thankfully we were able to hire another one. There was just three of us at the time. We hired another one, a fourth agent. And so I dropped down to 32 counties at that point, which is what I have now. So a little bit of a crazy route to my interest in poultry, but I would say that ducks are still my favorite. I've really, really gained a lot of interest in turkeys lately. My son shows at the Youth Market Turkey Show. So an interest there. And then, of course, chickens overall. So that's kind of how that happened.
Well, it sounds like you've had to learn a lot on the fly in your position.
I have. Absolutely. That, again, I wanted to stay in extension. I knew that I had an interest in being some sort of livestock or agriculture agent. Field crops wasn't really for me. Horticulture wasn't really for me. And I thought, well, gosh, I can learn from the agents that have had these positions before that are still here. And if I can learn the livestock side, I can learn the poultry side. And so that's where I ended up.
Resistance affecting your coccidiosis program? AccuGut C.1 is a proven tool for your coccidiosis toolbox. AccuGut C.1 is a phytogenic formulated for poultry with plant-derived substances including essential oils, herbs, spices, and plant extracts. Reduce the reliance on chemical coccidiostats or ionophores to build cost-effective rotation and shuttle programs. Give your traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
What do you think your strengths are in terms of what's allowed you to adapt to a new set of challenges?
Sure. So I would say that I've always said coming into cooperative extension, or I specifically work for NC State Extension, that side of it, you either come in as an extension agent to a new role, so you know the extension side, and that's a really big strength, which was my strength here in this case, or you come in with the background, industry knowledge, or subject matter knowledge for whatever the subject matter is that you're getting into. And so I didn't have that poultry background. I did animal science, like I said, at NC State, not poultry science. Truly did not know much about the poultry science department as an undergraduate, unfortunately. And so I was glad that I had that extension background. So I knew a little bit about needs assessments and working with different groups of clientele, figuring out how to do our reporting and our impacts and outcomes. All of that is an acquired skill set, not something that anybody would ever need to know growing up. And so I was really glad I at least had that side down pat, if you will. But the poultry side was more of an acquired taste that I had to learn.
So what was the biggest challenge for you in learning the poultry side of things?
I would say learning about the commercial side of things. The backyard flocks I had already been working with as a livestock agent. And although it wasn't my primary responsibility as livestock agent, because we had the area agents in between us and campus, and then also the specialist on campus, it was still a group that I had worked with and kind of learned what their needs were and how to be able to work with them. But the commercial side was completely new to me. The terminology, the contacts within the industry, figuring out which companies were in my area and how I could support them when they're pretty self-sufficient, being able to provide them educational resources that they didn't already have, and being able to provide programming for them was a huge challenge. The good part of that was that my colleagues who also have this job had a huge background in the poultry industry before they came to this job. And it was all a little bit of a different take of what they had. So thank goodness for them, because they were really able to kind of teach me that side. And then a couple of them were not from extension, so I was able to help them on the actual extension job side of things. So that really worked out, but that was a huge challenge. If you don't know that industry well, you don't know that industry well.
So you mentioned that you have responsibilities both for backyard producers and commercial producers. So what are some of the key differences in those two groups, and how do you maybe change your approach depending on who you're working with?
Sure. So we have been really busy lately probably since I started this position in 2015, writing litter management plans or waste management plans or nutrient management plans, depending on who you are and what you want to call them, for our commercial producers, as our industry here in North Carolina has grown tremendously since that time. And that is our primary focus in our area specialized agent positions, is the commercial producer. And so we try to make sure that we have them set up and ready to go and called up in everything we're trying to help them with before we tackle some of the backyard questions and programming and things like that. But that is difficult, because when a backyard producer calls, they probably need an answer right then. So trying to mesh the two worlds together can somewhat be challenging. But we try to all four, like I said, there's four of us, including myself. We all four try to work together to make sure that those needs are filled. I know, for example, if I get really swamped with a stack of plans that need to be completed, I may ask another agent to do one or two of those third party type plans that are more quickly and easily done, just to get them back to the producer so they can get their loan closed, so they can get started on construction, so they're not waiting on us. And then that frees me up maybe to go back and answer a backyard question or two or whatnot. But our primary focus is those commercial producers. So it's tricky to make everybody happy, but we do try to help them as best we can.
So in North Carolina, how popular are urban chickens as maybe a subset of backyard chickens, you know, maybe somebody with an acreage or a livestock or grain farm?
For sure. So it varies depending on, like you said, where you are, if you're more in the city limits or not in the city limits. But we do have places that are very largely populated, like Raleigh, for example, where NC State is. They have really gotten into chickens, and in areas like that, that's something that has become really popular over time. So that's actually one of the questions we get a lot is, depending upon where I live, how many chickens can I have, if any? Can I have roosters? What is the square footage they have to be housed in? And then we have to remind them of things like they have to stay on your property. They cannot wander over to your neighbor's property. That's not how this is set up. So we get a lot of questions about that. But I would say that especially since COVID, backyard chickens, whether it be urban, suburban, or very, very rural, like we have seen in the past where it usually is popular, has become so popular, not just for eggs, but also on the poultry processing side of things, where folks want to be able to raise their own broilers and process their own birds for meat. It is really, really increased since COVID for sure.
So do you find that there's a lot of people that have backyard chickens or want to get into backyard chickens that have absolutely no experience? And do you have resources for people like that?
Yes, absolutely. And again, we really saw a huge uptick when COVID hit of people saying they kind of freaked out and said, I want to be able to do everything myself. And chickens are kind of like the gateway drug into the livestock world, if you will. They're pretty easy to take care of. They're not typically something that is, really, really overly hard to do. And so that was something that we were getting questions about. Okay, well, but they would kind of dive in before they contacted us a lot of times, and they would come back and say, well, Miss Margaret, we've got 20 chickens from Tractor Supply. We don't know what, sexes they are. We don't really know what breeds they are, but what do we do now? So that was the typical question that we were getting, was how to take care of them. And then again, we were getting a lot of people that were interested in doing broilers. And so we would have to figure out how we could help them the best, making sure that they weren't growing them too short amount of time or too long amount of time where it became an animal welfare issue. That was for sure a question that folks weren't pushing the birds far enough as far as giving them the right amount of feed, the right type of feed, things like that. So that was something different and new and a challenge for us as area agents to have such an upswing so quickly of people wanting to get into that where they had no knowledge beforehand of pretty much any type of animal other than a cat and a dog. That was a really big challenge. But we put out some educational videos on brooding chicks. We actually created an entire page on our extension website about how to care for the birds at whatever stage you had them at. And then we also did a separate poultry processing page. And since then, our poultry processing demonstrations, we have them all throughout the year, all across the state, because it has just gotten to be that popular. But yes, those folks did not have a lot of knowledge beforehand of how to care for those birds properly. But that's where I like to think that we can kind of, it's our time to shine, is we can provide those educational resources to people.
Yeah, that sounds great. Where can people find those resources?
Sure. So if you simply do a Google search for NC State Extension Poultry, our Poultry Extension website should pop up. It is housed through the Prestige Department of Poultry Science at North Carolina State University. And then within there, you would be able to find all of the various topics, depending on what you're looking for, whether it be poultry processing on the backyard scale, learning how to raise a flock of backyard birds. And then, of course, we also have some commercial resources as well. And then events that are coming up, whether it be a program or a conference that we're helping with or helping to host. We have those events on the website as well. We also have a Facebook page. I forgot about that. We have a Facebook page, too, called the NC Cooperative Extension Hen House page that my coworker, Richard Goforth, has put together. And that's another cool way that we kind of keep up with social media, trying to stay relevant, especially with that younger generation. So we have a couple of websites, but also that Facebook page.
Yeah, that sounds very useful.
Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to dig deeper into the poultry health challenges you face. By gathering scientific evidence, they identify the most effective combinations of natural ingredients that improve animal health. Visit naturalbiologics.com/poultry to see the newest research in both turkeys and chickens.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can also set the notifications to on from our channel so you don't miss any other upcoming episodes. And also, if you would like to leave us a comment, you can do so at any time because your feedback is always valuable to us. Margaret, you mentioned nutrient management plans or waste management plans for commercial producers. What goes into a nutrient management plan?
Sure. So there are two different types of nutrient management plans. One would be what we consider or what we call a third-party plan, and the other one would be a non-third-party plan. So the third-party plans are where you as the producer would be producing the litter, of course, in your commercial houses, but you are getting rid of all of your litter. So a third party is coming in, hauling all of the litter off-site and applying it somewhere else. Usually that's someone that has some type of litter hauling service or business. So those plans are pretty quick and easy to write. The non-third-party plans are where we ask for the producer to go to their local farm service agency and collect the maps of all of the fields that they would like to be able to apply litter if they want to in the future. So basically, it has to be in the plan. And then we get all of the soil mapping done from Soil and Water, which is working with both of those organizations has been a tremendous asset to us at Cooperative Extension in writing these plans. And then once that's done, we go to our nutrient management website, plug and chug all of the numbers depending upon what crop they would like to be able to utilize that litter on. And then at the end of that, we come up with some numbers for plant available nitrogen that those fields can hold, share all of that in spreadsheets with the producer. And then we have a lot of other documents we share with them as well, including things like if they're going to be composting, how can they go about doing that? If they are going to be needing the application windows that come along with varying crops that they plan to plant, and all sorts of other documents depending on the specifics of that farm and their setup. And then at the end of that, they will sign a couple of those documents, send them back to us, and that document, the completed one, is usually what the loan officer needs, as well as the integrator. And we send those documents back in that form. That's a working document. And so if they ever want to change that to include new fields or take out fields or update their third-party applicator, maybe that person retired or went out of business, then that's something that can always be updated and does not have to be updated as long as nothing has changed, like bird numbers, for example.
Well, it sounds like a very coordinated involved effort.
It is. It's like I said, sometimes there are a stack of requests on my desk. So we created a Google document where folks can go in and fill all of the information out that we need. So when we get to them in what I call the queue, we are able to hopefully have all of the information in one succinct file and right ready to go. And then we're able to coordinate with the farmers ahead of time to ask them to go and get the maps. And that's something they can be working on while maybe we're working on another plan type of thing. So it's kind of like a conveyor belt in that we're trying to always have one of the pieces moving so that no one's ever really waiting on us too long. But like I said, sometimes we do have to call in backup of the other poultry agents because maybe one region is experiencing more growth than the other region.
What are some of the topics that you get the most questions about?
On the commercial side or the backyard side?
Sure, both.
Either? Okay. So I would say on the commercial side, a lot of times we'll get questions on things like lighting or ventilation. And we actually offer programs through our biological and agricultural engineering department on campus to do things like ventilation clinics. So those are really popular topics. Those are some things that the integrators really appreciate, us being able to provide their growers and their service folks with that information to take to their growers. We also work with the vet school. And so we have one of the veterinarians there that has come in the past couple of ventilation clinics and been able to talk with our folks about bird health. And so that has been a nice addition because we do get a lot of questions about commercial bird health issues too. But also they're working with a veterinarian in as well. On the backyard side, it's kind of the same thing as far as flock health questions. We get a lot of, hey, I have this picture I want to send you. This is what my bird is doing, or a video. They're walking funny. I want you to be able to help me with that. Well, we have to be careful with that because we are not veterinarians. And so we have to make sure we're connecting those folks with veterinarians or plugging them in to maybe a local vet clinic that's willing to see a bird. But we do get a lot of those flock health and management questions as well. A lot of times we'll also be asked to come out and do a farm visit, and just people are just kind of wanting to know if their setup is good, if the birds maybe need more room, if they're feeding a good quality feed that has the right amount of nutrition in it, if they have the right amount of waters, if their birds look healthy, just kind of like a general farm visit overview 101 type. How is everything looking? Am I doing a good job? How can I better improve this setup type thing? And then, of course, on the poultry processing side, which is, again, going back to the backyard topics that we get a lot, that's something that we have had a huge interest in, especially since COVID, like I said, where people are calling, asking questions. The other topic that we get a lot of questions about within that topic of poultry processing is on the legal side. And so we're able to connect those folks with the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and have them work with the Meat and Poultry Inspection Division inspector directly. And so any questions that they have as far as regulatory questions or labeling questions, as far as keeping product cold, refrigerated, frozen, temperature, anything like that, we have a really good working relationship with those Meat and Poultry Inspection Division inspectors. And so we're able to connect folks directly to them to answer some of those poultry processing questions as well.
One of the points of friction between commercial production and backyard producers is risk of disease. And so as we're recording this, fall migration is underway. And is avian influenza a risk, a big risk in North Carolina? And how do you manage maybe those tensions?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we have started trying to do is, regardless of the topics that we're covering in our backyard programming, we always include biosecurity. We always include that topic. We always talk about just the simplest of biosecurity: changing shoes, having a dedicated pair of boots for your flock, not taking that flock into the feed and seed store that you buy your feed from, making sure you're not sharing disease with your neighbor, encouraging them not to share disease with you, et cetera. As far as the avian influenza goes, especially sharing the maps of the flyways with folks is really eye-opening to them. So when they see we're in the Atlantic flyway, we have a little bit of that Mississippi flyway too. But when they see that map and they see, you know, that map that has the actual birds on it is really interesting to folks. And they see that, it kind of clicks a light bulb in them to say, oh, this is actually a problem. I need to, one, be protecting my birds, and two, really trying not to share this with my neighbor, because I may not know that the birds have it this very specific moment, and then I've shared it with my neighbor type of thing. So we like to use the analogy of how when you have, and I have a 7-year-old, so I feel like I can say this, children are really gross and disgusting. And when you send them to school, they share and they touch everything. And we are adults and we don't want to be doing that with our flocks. So we really, really try to harp on biosecurity, because that is really hard for the commercial poultry producers. There's a lot of things that they can do on their ends, but there's a lot of things that they can't do as far as the backyard flocks go and where they're at and where they're located. And then, like you said, as far as the migration goes, there's only but so much they can do there as well. So we try to help both sides recognize that the other side is also important, and to be respectful of both, and figure out how we can work together to create some good biosecurity measures. But that has been something, since avian influenza has really hit hard here in North Carolina in the past 5 years or so, is that we've really included some of that biosecurity in all of our programming and sharing those resources with folks as well.
What's something about your job that maybe the general public doesn't appreciate that you think they should know?
Yeah, so we always used to say that cooperative extension was North Carolina's best kept secret, but we didn't want it to be. And I think that has gotten much better. And I will give a lot of credit to our past director, Dr. Bonanno. He really, really had a big push for marketing and branding, and branding that was all the same across the board. So we weren't having something different from one county to the next. So people were recognizing our brand a little bit more, understanding a little bit more about what we had to offer. But I think that that's improving, but I'm so glad to see that, because people come to me all the time, even just with a simple Facebook post. Oh, I didn't know that you offered showmanship clinics on chicken shows for kids. Oh, I didn't know that you worked with some of the companies. What does that mean? How do you help them? What does that look like? So even a simple Facebook post or Instagram post or an email has really helped to kind of push our word out. But I don't think it's always been that way. And I'm so glad to see that, because we have a ton of resources for people. And it's not just on the ag side of things. So not only can we help people with their horticulture and field crop questions, of course, we can help folks with their livestock and poultry questions. But we also have 4-H, which is, of course, the largest youth development organization. And then we also have family and consumer sciences agents who can help with all sorts of things, from canning and food preservation. They used to be, of course, called the home ec agent. So I think it's really cool when people say, oh, y'all are all in the same office. I didn't realize that I could ask a question about my rhododendron bush, and then I could go figure out how to can my apples, and then I could ask you how to process my chickens all at the same time. So being able to see folks interact with us and engage with us and ask us questions that maybe they didn't know that we could offer resources before has been a really cool shift to see in my going on 15 years with Extension now. So that's been something I'm really glad people are starting to figure that out. And I like to say that technology has played a tremendous role in that, for sure. Being able to highlight and share and publicize our events and programs that are coming up has been a huge role in that.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo.
So shifting gears a little bit, what is your favorite poultry-related book or resource that you go to?
Sure. So I pulled it out because I thought you might want to see it. So The American Standard for Perfection. I love this book. It was handed down to me. I don't even know if I have the most recent one. But when I was learning how to judge chicken shows years ago from a colleague of mine, this book was handed down to me. And it has been something when even I just have a couple of extra few minutes here and there, I'll flip through and learn a little bit more about the breeds and learn a little bit more about the standards of the breeds. And so when I go out and do some of these chicken shows and things like that, I have a little bit more knowledge of what I should be judging and how it should be done. So I really love that book.
What's your favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Sure. So I thought about that question a little bit, and there are a lot of good books out there, obviously, but I'm going to say that the book that I'm trying to get through this year, which is very difficult, along with some devotional books, is the Bible. My son and I have really started to try to get into that, and it's not very easy to do. It's very difficult, but we've actually started with some kids' devotional books, and I find that those are very helpful for adults as well. Mm-hmm. So we're working through the Bible, and it's not easy, but we've learned a lot and it's been really interesting.
Oh, good. It's a nice thing to be able to do with your son.
Yes, absolutely. He's enjoyed it. He's had lots of questions that maybe I didn't know the answers to. So it's pushed me to go and find out some of those answers as well.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to our audience for joining us as well. So that concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. Visit our website at wisenetics.com and learn more about all of our podcast segments, including poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed mill, crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.